turn to Luke's Gospel in the first chapter. I think it is fitting that we read these portions, particularly in the next 2 weeks. They will be read, they'll be quoted, they'll be misquoted, they'll be referred to, they'll be the subject of pantomime. I think it is profitable for us to read them, get them firm in our mind by way of being refreshed. Luke chapter 1. And let us read from verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. As far as I know, we only have two angels' names. One's Michael, the archangel, and we have Gabriel. I can't recall any other angels' names being given to us. He was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a salutation and what a message. Said Mary unto an angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come on thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. The message of the angel Gabriel to Mary. I don't propose to expound it verse by verse, but I think if we meditate quietly upon it, it will indeed prove to be a very valuable source for our thoughts and meditation. What amazing young lady must Mary have been to receive such a message? We know nothing about her very much, but she must have been an amazing young lady to be able to receive this message, a message from God. And I think it's important for us to realise and to believe that one of the basic fundamentals of our Christian faith is the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. It's assailed on every hand and side. It is criticised and it is scorned. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. And science can't understand it, nor can it explain it. And if it could, it would not have been a miracle. Because I believe that such miracles are beyond normal science and normal scientific laws. And so we must accept as basic foundation of our faith that the birth of the Lord Jesus was miraculous. God creates mankind, or he has created mankind by, I think, 4 different means. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth. a pure, straight act of creation. He created Eve from the male without the agency of a female. And he creates human beings today by the agency of male and female, as we all know. And the fourth miraculous way that God created a man was the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. He was unique in his birth. And as some have said, unless we accept the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus as a basis of our faith, we are indeed passing an insult on the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe we must believe it. It cannot be explained. We accept it. The Roman Catholics accept it. They accept a lot more which we wouldn't accept. But the basic fact of the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus is basic to our faith. Without the miraculous birth of the Lord Jesus, you and I do not have a sinless Saviour. The birth of the Lord Jesus was referred and inferred as far back as Genesis 3, when the Lord said to the devil, "The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head." And it's a unique statement, the seed of the woman. If you go to the genealogies in chapter 3, I think it is, of this book, certainly chapter 1 of Matthew, you get time and time again that so-and-so begat somebody. Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob, and so on. When it comes to the end, it says, I better read it, because I'll misquote it. It says, "Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is called Christ." Unique in the whole genealogy statements from Abraham and from Adam. And so the Word was made flesh. When the fullness of time come, Galatians says, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. And so it is basic to our faith, the miraculous virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. But the last phrase that I read is what I would like just to leave with you to think about. Mary's response. Well, higher up, first of all, verse 34. "Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" To her it was completely unbelievable that she was to have a child. And the angel gave her the message, "The Holy Ghost will come upon you. It will be a miracle." And her attitude in verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Even although it's so staggering, even although it's so impossible, impractical, unnatural, even though it's unique, her words virtually were, "Well, I'm the Lord's servant." What an attitude. What an attitude she's left for us. To be but the Lord's servant, even in the impossible. Let us read from chapter 2. You know, there's so much conjecture that Christmas was at this time of the year. So many of our Christmas carols, "See Among the Winter Snow," and all the rest of it. Well, I guess the English writers had ideas of snow and one thing and another. I don't know whether it snows at Bethlehem this time of the year. I know it gets cold there. It's extremely doubtful whether the birth of Christ took place on the 25th of December. I think there is quite a lot of scholarship that would indicate that probably the birth of Christ took place in September. And Jerusalem and Bethlehem at the end of September would be very, very warm indeed, not very, very cold. But anyway, it doesn't matter greatly when it took place as far as the exact day. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. He went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, which is the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. There is some thought that it was unusual for the wife to accompany the husband for such tax payment. It was the head of the family, the head of the house, the heir, that was to go and to be taxed. And the reason that Mary went was because of her lineage, of her genealogy, as a direct descendant of David. And if you trace the Lord's genealogy back through to David and to Abraham, it certainly is through Mary. And so she went. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came on them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so it's the Christmas story as given to us by the Lord himself. And there's a lot that will be added to it. There'll be a lot that will be distorted about it. But it came simply as stated. Luke says, the words given to the shepherds was, this will be a sign. There are signs in the New Testament, and this was one of them. The sign was, you'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, as if there was never another baby wrapped in swaddling clothes found lying in a manger that night at Bethlehem. His birth was unique, and this was given to them as a sign. Matthew has a sign. Matthew quotes Isaiah chapter 7, where the Lord says, this will be the sign. A virgin shall be with shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Two amazing signs the birth of the Lord Jesus. So I thought I'd just read them to us together this morning. We'll think about them particularly over the next 2 weeks. I know we think about them at other times as well. And so this morning we have remembered him, our Lord Jesus Christ, of highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, he comes, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with men as man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel, our Lord and our Saviour.